This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we talk with a guest who's been called the greatest female athlete of all time.
First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Jean Purcell joins us to ask you to invest a few minutes of your time to support the programs you rely on, programs like Central Time. Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are looking for just 8 more pledges in about the next 22 minutes or so, and we are counting on your call, your pledge online to make all of that happen. And here's a great reason for you to become a member.
Yeah, give any amount and you're entered to win 2 tickets on a WPR trip. You'd get to choose. You can cruise along the Rhine River in Europe, discover Alaska, or sample the French lifestyle.
Those all sound like great choices. And a big thank you, by the way, if you've already given. But if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
How many times have you been listening to the Ideas Network and heard something that was really interesting that made you think, wow, I never thought of that before? We strive every day for programs that open your eyes, engage your brain, programs that affect your life. This kind of radio happens only with your financial support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know, giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a few minutes of your time. In return, you will get so much back over the course of the next year and beyond. And when you make your pledge, consider a 9XM leadership gift of $200 a month or more.
That comes down to less than $8 a day. It makes the talk, the news, the music, and entertainment that you count on from WPR possible. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, when you support WPR, you're supporting the Wisconsin idea. The idea that we spread the resources of the university across the entire state. Not every state has such an idea, such a concept. And not every state has the high-quality programs you enjoy daily here in WPR.
WPR is one of the great things about Wisconsin. It's something to take pride in. Join forces with many other Wisconsinites right now and make a contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. Make your pledge right now. I'm Gene Purcell here with Rob Ferrett asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio during this fall membership drive. Now, maybe your gift will be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
You count on Wisconsin Public Radio for great conversations each and every day. We count on you to help pay for it, to make your pledge. Do it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you.
Our next guest has been called the greatest female athlete of the 20th century. She's a 6-time Olympic medalist, and her world record for the heptathlon is still unbroken.
These days, Jackie Joyner-Kersee is a philanthropist, the founder of the Jackie Joyner-Kersee Foundation, and an advocate for children's education, health issues, racial equality, social reform, and women's rights. She'll be in Wisconsin. She's coming to Madison, speaking to the Madison Civics Club and the public about overcoming obstacles. That's on Saturday, October 18th. At Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center in Madison. Registrations are due on that by October 10th.
Jackie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
You're often referred to as one of the greatest athletes of all time, or the greatest female athletes of all time. How does it feel hearing that today?
Well, I'm very honored, and I realize that it took a lot of hard work, but I keep it in perspective and really try to strive to be a great person and trying to be a great person, do the things that was instilled in me from my parents as far as being respectful, great integrity, and really trying to pass that on to the next person or whoever I might be working with.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about that background. Your life is a testimony to the power of sports and also to your love of family. You and your brother Al, I read, trained together and swore that you would better yourself through athletics. How did you both get that drive so early in life?
Well, I think that when you have first of all, when you're young and you find something that you enjoy doing, you love it. And from that, you realize that from working with people and being in competitions, and then people start talking to you about the Olympics and different competitions. But at first it starts with, for me, a passion for loving what I did and understanding that if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. In order for me to do that, that means that I have to really work hard every day and give my all each time out. And the end results might not mean that I will win every race, but at least I can say that I gave 100%.
Do you remember a moment when you were young, when you realized that this wasn't just something you were doing, this was something that you could go all the way in? You were a little special.
You know, I never thought I was special. And I think because there were a lot of girls and boys that we all were on the same team and we all were doing well. And you know, and our coaches would tell us all that we had potential. So it wasn't that I never thought I was special. It's just that my vision compared to my friend's vision was totally different. I wanted to go to the Olympics but didn't know if I would ever have an opportunity to do that. And my coaches, you know, stressed to me as well as others that you had to be willing to work hard. And when I first started, I wasn't one of the best girls, but I knew the true meaning of working hard. So that was something that I would, you know, strive to do every day out. And even though it might have been tough, but I enjoyed it.
Is that part of your message with kids now? I know you do a lot of philanthropic work, including through the Jackie Joyner Kersee Youth Center Foundation. Are you trying to teach kids who may have some disadvantages in life that they can have that same mindset that you had, that they can do anything if they work hard?
You know, one of the things we do, I have a program we call Winning in Life, and the whole purpose with the program is character building, building self-esteem, meeting young people where they are, but then also sharing my story so they could see Jackie Joyner when she was a little girl, not Jackie Joyner Kersee, the Olympic champion. It's Jackie Joyner as a little girl setting dream, having a dream, working hard, doing her homework, listening to her teacher, you know, trying to, for me, make my parents proud. And so from that, that's what I try to really stress with our young people, the commitment to hard work, work ethic, being respectful, being responsible, being accountable, and know that there are consequences to everything that we do. But it's important for them to find their way. I don't try to tell any of them to be the next Jackie Joyner Kersee. I want them to be the next he or she and be the best he or she they can be.
So you mentioned character building. Why do you think that's so important?
I think a character is who we are. Athletics, I think someone said, you know, it builds character. But I was always told it reveals character. And I think for myself, growing up in East St. Louis, Illinois, and having a dream, wanting to do great things, but always having the community on my mind or wanting to get back in the community. And so for me, once I went on and successful on the Olympic level, it was important for me not to forget home, not to become someone that other people wanted me to become, where people would say, well, why you choose to go back to East St. Louis or live in East St. Louis? You could live anywhere, but I'm like, that's home. And for me, characters, your character is who you are in the light as well as in the dark. And that's one thing about me is that I don't try to be someone that I'm not or try to be let people put me on a pedestal. No, I'm a human being trying to be the best that I could be, but not to lose sight of the struggles of the people who came before me or my parents, how difficult it was for them. And now I'm in a better position, so why not be able to share and work with others? So when I'm working with young people, I don't want the straight and narrow, when you see me, I want you to be that way all the time. So a lot of our programs, we do role playing, we just do different things. And then also from the things that they're doing in schools, you know, you want to be a part of the team. You can't be a part of a team if you're not coming to school. You know, you can't have one without the other.
And have you seen it making a difference in these kids' lives?
Yes, I do see it making a difference. I think just even having a round table where we have it, we call it a dialogue, and just listening to our young girls, where they are, the struggles as well as their triumphs. But it's for us, the motivation comes from, why was it difficult for you to achieve this? So remember how tough it was, and or how tough it is, it may be. But when it's all said and done, it's really, I think, working with young people where they are, and then also this day and age where, when I was coming up, we didn't have the social media, we didn't have a lot of the other things that's right in your face. And how do you deal with that? How do you still stay true to who you are, what you want to do, and who can help you become the best you? And there are several layers. You know, I'm just one. That's one link. And then the teachers are another link. You know, your pastor is another link. Your family is another link. How do we strengthen these links to make you the best you?
As an African-American woman competing, you are busting through some barriers both for women and for people of color. At the time, were you aware that you were doing something record-breaking, not just on the track field, but in the social world for people as well, for women and for people of color?
Well, I think that, you know, for me, as I strive to be the best me I could be, I am who I am, and I can't change the color of my skin, you know, and I look at the women in the athletic arena who came before me, who was my role model, Wilma Rudolph, who really was someone that I could really resonate with because she became my mentor before she passed away. And as I was coming up, she took me under her wing. She would bring me into her hotel room, and we would just have dialogues and conversation. And as a little girl growing up, you read about her, you know, having polio and then the struggles. Then she go to Tennessee State. She wins 3 gold medals, and she's embraced all over the world. But then couldn't even go into her own hometown and eat at the counter because of the color of her skin. But when I met Wilma, she wasn't bitter. She was very strong. And so for me, you know, that spoke volumes because we have to continue to, you know, pay it forward and educate. And still, while we're going through this education system, that we don't be bitter, we be wise, and we be strong in trying to help the next generation of young people. It's not to forget. It's to be aware and to know, because history is so important, but it's not to forget and not to think that you're immune to certain things.
Now, your signature event was the heptathlon. It's made up of 7 events. And I'm curious, when everything clicked for you and you were at peak performance, what did it feel like to be able to sail through those runs and hurdles, the shot put, the long jump? Did you feel like Superwoman?
You know, they would label me as Superwoman. But, you know, honestly, at times it was, I love what I did. When it came to the heptathlon, run, jumping, and throwing, I think it's the basics to all sports. And I just happened to do it in the event that I love, the heptathlon. And true enough, the hard part was practice, and competition was really fun because that's when you just execute, you know. And sometimes I hit the numbers, sometimes I didn't. But I knew it was 7 events. I knew this is what I love doing, and I just enjoyed it, you know. And there were times when, yes, I would think I was Superwoman, but the reality of it is that, no. I was working with some kids one time. I was, like, trying to come up with a coloring book or, like, a comic book in a sense, because I would share with them how everyone would think I was so good in this and did that. and they never thought I had hard times. I'm like, you just don't know. My kryptonite was being an asthmatic. So I would be so afraid that I might have an asthma attack in one of the events. And so it was so important that I prepare and I prepare and I prepare. But, you know, so when you said the Superwoman, that came to mind, because I remember one of the Sports Illustrated covers, they called me Superwoman.
Well, Jackie, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Jackie Joyner-Kersee is a six-time Olympic medalist. She's been called the greatest female athlete of the 20th century, and her career broke down barriers for African-Americans and women athletes. Today, she's a philanthropist, public speaker, and the founder of the Jackie Joyner-Kersee Foundation.
She'll be in Madison speaking to the Madison Civics Club and the public about overcoming obstacles on Saturday, October 18th at the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center in Madison. Registrations are due on October 10th.